tribulation. There's something I can't sleep through. There's something that I gotta wake up and I gotta feel the pain. There's something that I gotta go through. I got to feel the abuse. What are you trying to say, preacher? Sometimes the one that say they love you gonna hurt your feeling. What are you saying, preacher? Sometimes the ones that say they got your back gonna be the one that give you the knife in your back. What are you
saying? Hope you enjoy our pastor's message. I'm Brother Michael Williams. Thank you for listening. We pray you were enlightened spiritually by our radio broadcast. If you would like a copy of our service or support us by donation, write us at Bethany Ministry Center, P.O. Box 6764, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307, or call us at 318-561-0064 and leave a message. Join us next Saturday at 12:15 p.m.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.
Greetings, brothers and sisters in Christ. You are now tuned into the Deceptions of Satan radio broadcast with Brother Leon Gaspy. Listen now as Brother Gaspy enlightens you about the different ways Satan may deceive us in our walk with Christ.
Good afternoon. This is Brother Gaspy. This afternoon, I've got a little booklet here that most of the churches have. It's called the Daily Word. And I found something in here that verifies what I've been saying. And they say it so much better than I do. I want to read it to you. It said, if you're like me, you seldom read the full text of contracts for online services before you agree to them. They go on for pages, and most of the legal jargon makes no sense to ordinary people like me. I was quite surprised, therefore, when a friend from Africa made me aware of this one-of-a-kind service agreement for online software. Instead of a worldly license telling people how not to use it, the developer offers a simple blessing, urging people to use it for good. And may you do good and not evil. May you find forgiveness for yourself and forgive others. May you share freely, never taking more than you give. At first I thought, wow, imagine if more terms of service agreements were written as blessings instead of legal documents. Then I thought the agreement Jesus makes with us is like that. He offers us forgiveness of sin, peace with God, and the presence of the Holy Spirit in return. All he asks is that we do good, Galatians 6:10. Forgive us, and we will be forgiven, Luke 6:37. And love others as he loves us, John 13:34. The beauty of Jesus' agreement with us is that even though we fail to live up to the terms, we still receive the blessings. And she ends it right there. But I want to add something to that, because Jesus, it promises to you will get the blessing, but there's another scripture in 1 John 1:9, I think it is, where it says that if you confess your sins, he will forgive your sins. Now, it doesn't say that you just go on sinning, because the more you get to know your maker, the more you get to know your creator, the less you want to sin. And you may fall into it, fall into temptation, but you'll be less vulnerable for deception. And you won't want to deceive people. You don't want to take advantage of people. Some things we used to do we just don't do anymore, you know. And after we find out that it is sin to do that, common sense will tell you, if you don't want people to misuse you, don't go around misusing people, because this book says, as you do to others, God will seek revenge. Don't try to get even with people for even though they take advantage of you sometime. We we get so bent out of shape. Oh, he tricked me. I knew old boy in Chicago one time. He would steal the sweetening out of a ginger snap. But if somebody stole something from him, he raised more hell than an alligator when the pond went dry. I said, man, what is your problem? You steal all the time. Yeah, but they stole from me. See, that's the way a lot of the people in the church are like that. You know, it's all right for them to misuse you, talk about you, do whatever they want to do to you. But the least little thing you do to them, they are bent all out of shape. And we shouldn't do that. We should take, when people take advantage of us, the Bible says pray for them. I know that's kind of hard to do, but you have to build up that kind of faith, and you get this kind of faith by reading God's word and knowing his promises. And this is one of the things why Satan tries to keep you from reading this book. Like I said, as you read it and understand it, then you'll see where it would be to your advantage to just go on and let somebody take advantage of you. You don't have to keep on letting them, you know, like stick your head in the snake pit to prove that God loves you and that you love God and all that kind of stuff. Not that kind of thing, but when somebody do something trying to hurt you, 9 times out of 10 it'll go back on them. If you truly believe what this word says and trust in what God says. You see, Satan will get people to do it. It's not people, like it says there in Ephesians 6. You're not fighting against people. You're fighting against principalities, the spiritual wickedness in high places. So people are influenced by the devil to misuse you. It's not that person. Don't get mad with the person. Get mad with the one that coaxed them into doing that. You know, so if we would learn to do that, and we can learn to do it, we're not going to get it perfect not here on earth, we won't. But we will. You find that you'll feel a lot better about yourself and about people, too, if you learn to just do what this book says. Now, she says all these promises are yours, even if you don't live up. If you fail to live up to the terms, you will still receive the blessings. No, the Bible didn't say that we will still receive the blessings, even though you just go around. That don't mean just go around doing whatever you want to do, and God gonna forgive you anyway, and you can keep on practicing the same foolishness you were doing when you was in the street, and some worse. But it means for us to get to know your Maker, get to know His way, and He will teach you how. And the Bible is so simple. Like these contracts, most contracts they have, they got all that legal talk in it, and fine print. And you want what they offer you. You want it so bad, you go ahead and sign it before you get to read it all. Well, they'll point out to you the highlight. Oh, this is just saying this, and this is saying that. Let me read it myself. But most salespeople will rush you to get the sign. All they want you to do is sign. See, once you sign it, you're bound by that contract. That's why I said about saying amen to things that you don't understand. You don't understand what they're saying, and the preacher tells you to say amen, and you say amen. That's just like co-signing a note that you never read. But Satan will give us to think that this is what God wants us to do. You go to church and you say hallelujah, jump up and down and shout and go on. Yeah, that's fine in its place, but the Bible also tells you there's a time and a place for everything. And it's not necessarily when somebody else says for you to say amen. I'm not a puppet. So I try to learn to do what God says do and do it that way. And I believe I would have come out ahead by doing that. Now, I don't say anybody has to be just like me, because I'm uniquely different from anybody else. And that's not being arrogant by saying that. God made us different. He didn't make no two of us just alike. You don't even have two body parts just alike. You got your eyes are different. Your one eye is different from the other. One hand is different from the other. You may not can see it, but it is different. And no two have the same fingerprints. Now they got this DNA where they prove that we are different. We are alike, but yet different. We're made in the image of God, but we all make up the body of Christ. And if we are the body of Christ, we need every part of the body needs to function. And if I, by me blowing out your candle, don't make mine burn no brighter. And we, if we would learn to just learn to respect ourselves and learn to respect God, respect ourselves, and learn to respect your brother as you respect yourself. And the Bible don't tell you to do good for your brother and not for yourself, not love your brother more than yourself. He said love your brother as yourself. So if you can't learn to love you, and I've said this before in other programs, if you can't learn to love you, learn to love God and learn to love you, there's no way you can love me or anybody else. Because you don't know, you don't really want love because you don't love nobody and you're not going to let nobody love you. So, and if you can't love yourself, you're in trouble anyway. If you hit your hand with a hammer, you'd hit knock me in the head with that same hammer. But anyway, I'm glad to be kind of back on track again. I've been kind of busy doing other things, and I haven't been doing my program. I've been running reruns on it, but that's all right. What was said, I said it, and I can't take them back. So sometimes we need to hear the same thing over again, like I read somewhere about the power of repetition. And the Bible also tells you that so faith comes by hearing. By hearing what? By hearing the word of God. That's how faith comes. Not by hearing of a lot of what the world is doing and what people think and what they say. Because like Jesus says in Matthew 15 and also in Mark 7, the church has made God's word obsolete, teaching for doctrine the doctrines of men. Instead of God's word, what God says. And I don't know, I guess you get tired of me saying this, but like I said, if we would learn to say what God says and do what God says do, we'd be a lot better off. And no matter how smart you may think you are, you have opinions about God's word, and your opinion is not going to change God's word anymore. But if you want to know the truth, which is God's word, the truth may change your opinion. As a matter of fact, it will change your opinion if you really want to know the truth. But if you just going to be you dependent on your opinion. Your opinion don't really matter when it comes to the word of God, a right or wrong. Your opinion could be all the way left field from what it's really supposed to be. That's like putting we get these things you got to assemble when you order things out or buy things out of the store. Some of the things you have to put them together. They got instructions in there on where each part goes. Now, if you put that thing together, it may look like it looked on the picture, but you got parts left over. There's something wrong. So if we learn to follow instructions and do as God said do it, we'll come out right, even though it may not look right to us. I've done that several times myself, get a toy or something, trying to put it together. Oh, this looks like it ought to go there. I don't need the instructions. I can see. Yeah, when you wind up, you got two, three parts left over. Now you got to take it down and put it all back, go back and get the instructions, put it back together. Like it's supposed to be, if it's going to ever function right. And like I said, I'm glad to still be here, in spite of my foolishness. And I know I'm not the only one. I may be the only one doing foolish things or thinking foolish thoughts and that. But all these things God is going to hold you responsible for. But you, if you confess, see, you, I know I'm kind of off track, and I admit that. But I'm.